It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, always great to talk to Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. And one thing that people often come to a counselor or some kind of life coaching session is that they're after some kind of behavior modification. And your bigger word for this is life perspectives this week on the Sound Mind Show.
Yeah, it's life perspectives is a behavior. It's actually a life management tool that I developed, it is, you know, you say behavior modification is almost always a part of counsel. I'm sitting here trying to imagine where it would not change. I mean, really, when people come in for counseling, they want to change. Somebody wants a behavioral change of some kind,
even if it's better thinking,
or feeling better, And so it does come down to, you know, you could call it a behavioral modification tool. It has to do also though with emotions, and ultimately has to do probably with beliefs. There's a certain procedure. I'm kind of fishing for the words here, but. An order of operation. There we go. And the order of operation goes like this. It's beliefs, emotions, behaviors, beliefs, emotions, behaviors, beliefs, emotions, behaviors. And we were talking just before this show about eating cookies or anything else, and how that even a behavior that seems automatic like that, behind it there's a belief. And we won't go into that in great depth on this show, because we want to get onto the life perspectives. But every action requires a modus, an impetus, and so you say the word emotion means to precede motion or to cause motion. And so every motion has an emotion, and every emotion is built on a belief. So there's a belief in emotion, and then a behavior. And we could take that back to the autonomic system if we wanted to. Again, we won't go that deep. So when we talk about changing behaviors, we're talking about changing emotions. We're talking about changing beliefs. And so this life perspectives is about that. And I jump in. First of all, let me just point out that all of our behaviors, of course, are about survival. Fundamentally, that's at the base of our behavior. Our brain is kind of a big component in our behavior. And so we have the autonomic system, and that's just the brain keeping us breathing, keeping our heart rate, and a lot of other things. The brain tells us when we're hungry. Our brain tells us when we need to breathe, and all these kinds of things, just to keep our body alive is the job of the brain. That's really the basis of our behaviors. Now, as spiritual, mental, complex creatures, we also have an interest in keeping ourselves alive. And so that's a little bit different, but it's the same process.
So you're saying even our belief about ourselves, about our world, about whether we're happy or sad, these are all survival.
Ultimately,
instincts.
They are. Yeah, they are all about survival.
You're not going to
survive
if you're always bummed out and always depressed.
Right.
You know,
but
I got to do something about this.
So what you're suggesting there is that, you know, you can actually, your body can grow weaker and weaker by, but also one of the things that we worry about at least as much as that is the self. Who am I? Do I have value? Do I have control? And so therefore, and I just have given a hint to where we're going here, because of all of our behaviors are fundamentally about survival, either of the body and or the soul or the self, we pursue these three things: value, control, and power.
Now, you mentioned that on a lot of your shows. Yeah. Tell us again what you mean by value, control, and power.
So, value, of course, am I valuable as a human being? And it is in the context of the human community. Am I valuable as another human being? Implies that that to be human is something, and of course, ultimately, that is a spiritual question. You know, what is man? Value, am I valuable as a human? The next is, do I have control of how life affects me? I don't want other people dictating to me my life experience. I want to have control, how other people's decisions and how things affect me, because that's related to my survival. And the third one is power. I use the word resources. I want to know that I have resources, and that again relates back to survival. And so these three together, value, control, power, they're the only available temporal experience that we have of immortality.
Now that's kind of a loaded statement.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Okay. Well, again, survival, survival is either a question of, you either live or you don't. Well, death is mortality. You know, imminent death is mortality. And the only way to avoid imminent death or mortality is to be immortal. And so even though we don't realize that's what we're pursuing, we're really pursuing immortal life, because the alternative is not very rosy. That's the death. That's kind of the end. In terms of the soul, that's the end of existence. And that's the meaningful part of that for us. And so we don't really think in terms of pursuing immortality, but we do think in terms of pursuing value, control, and power. And as I say, those are the only available experiences.
Well, I've heard the term, you don't want to just survive, you want to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, I mean, if all you're worried about is where you're going to get your next meal, mm-hmm. that's a pretty mundane existence. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to get past that and thrive in all mm-hmm. areas of our life. Is that what you mean kind of by immortality, an experience of immortality?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because, there's a saying that it's not enough that you succeed; those around you must also fail. We have a sense that to be immortal is to rise above the other mortals. In fact, we have this term of people. Certain people in our history have immortalized themselves. You know, mm-hmm. you can think of all kinds of examples of people who are immortal, and yet they're not immortal. They're dead. What do we mean by immortal? Well, they rose to a level
of significance.
Above the herd. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of stood out. Well, that means something different to different people. And what you've suggested
here. To God, too. God's view of what successful is and what isn't.
Yeah, and so what you're suggesting is where we're going to go now is this kind of the guts of this perspectives or this life management tool and this model, what it looks like is we start with the idea that our world is either getting larger or smaller, not the globe, not the earth, but my world, my experience in the world, it's either getting larger or smaller. It doesn't plateau off. I'm either pursuing value, control, and power in some meaningful way, or I'm retreating. So I'm either growing my world, I say to people, or I'm retreating from my world. And this yes. comes out in, this is evidenced in many emotional ways and in behavioral ways. And so I've kind of categorized the world in this through, I call it three life perspectives. So the smallest world, what I've entitled at the body, which means that has to do with immediate gratification. So we'll talk about that in a bit. And then the next larger world, if I'm expanding, is what I call the external, and that's kind of outside of that idea of immediate gratification. And that has more to do with planning and acquisitions and achievements. And then there's something beyond that, though. What does it gain a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Right.
Or in terms of Maslow's hierarchy, which is kind of an inversion of this model, up at the top is self-actualization, or kind of has to do with the meaning of life or the meaning of my life. What's it all about? And so eventually there's this pursuit of value, control, and power, which is actually a pursuit of surrender. And that's kind of a paradox, but it's a very faith-based view of value, control, and power, which you suggested, mm-hmm, that ultimately we can't reach out and attain these things, and it's left in the hands of God. And so we want to talk a little bit about those perspectives when we come back. And of course, this model has to do with many, many things. It has to do with anger. It has to do with mm-hmm. addiction. It has to do with relationships.
Those are the main areas where people come to see you. They're
exactly.
having problems mm-hmm. with anger. They're maybe having problems mm-hmm. with some kind of addictive behavior, mm-hmm. or they're having relationship yeah. problems. I mean, those are the main areas where mm-hmm. we seem to need help. What's interesting here on, you said body perspective, external perspective, and eternal perspective, But then you rephrased a little bit. You said body, external, and transcendent. And use the word transcendent because everybody, whether they're Christians or not, or religious or not, still wants this transcendence.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a universal desire.
It is, and there's a lot of writing on that. When I first developed the model, it was in terms of realizing, actually part of it was of building an anger management program for teens and parents, and one of the things, and I just was learning about anger, well, my own anger too, in the kind of the process of that and realizing that anger is pervasive, it's everywhere, and it's spiritual. In nature. And so that's so then the conclusions in building this model, it just seemed that it was very natural that what we're really shooting for is a spiritual view of life, and that would be something opposite of anger.
Now, what do you mean by anger is spiritual in nature? Can I get a little sidetrack here? What do you mean by that?
Well, anger is based in anxiety and depression and ultimately in fear and shame. Fear of mortality, and shame, an internalized message of lack of worth. And those both eventually get back to that idea of what is man. I think shame, you know, we're not primarily initially ashamed of things we do. We're initially ashamed because we have an internalized message of lack of worth, and then we do shameful things because we live down to that message. Why was I ashamed to begin with? Well, I was ashamed to begin with because my dad was ashamed, and he was ashamed because his dad was ashamed. And this goes back, and ultimately I think it has to do with that. Why does man have an internalized message of lack of worth? And the only conclusion I can come up with is because we intuitively sense and know that there's something higher. And we always question our value in relationship to that something that's higher.
So even though there might be particulars in our individual stories of why we feel ashamed, there is a spiritual component that probably goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and then the fall of man and this idea of we are fallen.
Man is spiritual, and when I refer to I or me, I'm talking about a spiritual part, the spiritual part of my existence.
Well, shame are issues that obviously come up in counseling and finding your own story, why you're struggling maybe with shame and how to maybe overcome that. Whether you have anger issues, addiction issues, relationship issues, these are things that Daniel can maybe help you with as an individual, maybe in marital counseling, child-parent counseling of some kind. Daniel, you have offices in Edmonds and Bellevue, and how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, and they can also email me through that website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your broadcasts, your podcasts of these shows are available there. This show will be there eventually, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Big subject, life perspectives. We'll continue the discussion with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, on the Sound Mind broadcast here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland running the board as well here today with Daniel Pryor, discussing a subject that you've touched on here and there throughout your shows so far, and this idea of life perspectives, the idea of the body perspective, the external perspective, and you're also saying the transcendent or eternal perspective, and how these relate to how we deal with our world.
Yeah, and so I wanted to get into a little bit of that. It can seem complex, but I think when people come in and I'm actually teaching them this model, and then it becomes something that even when they're setting in the first session in there and we're talking about it, they begin to relate immediately to kind of where they are. And that's really the beauty of the model. Is I actually had a CEO of a company once reduce my kind of my cheat sheet on that, and he had it laminated and folded on his desk, like a name plaque, so that he could just quickly look at it and identify emotions and behaviors that told him his world was either getting larger or smaller. Mm-hmm. And of course, we want to, you know, we want our world getting larger, and that.
Well, expand what you mean here by the body perspective.
Well, so we have the three. We have the three, and as I said, the body. What I'm referring to is the body. There's a smaller perspective. So think of it this way: if I'm under threat, or I always imagine going to the zoo and going in, looking at maybe a caged bobcat or something, and maybe the bobcat is kind of new at the zoo and feels fear, and you find the bobcat back in the corner. And, so it's backed into the corner. Mm-hmm. And if you were to, it's uncertain, it's insecure. And so it's backed in there and it's most vulnerable at that point. Its world is very small at that point. It doesn't venture out. And so it's backed into the corner. Or you might, if you don't have a bobcat in your house, maybe you've moved, recently moved, and you have a pet that is uncertain. A cat is much that way, uncertain of the environment, so gets into a little corner and is, very insecure. And it comes to the point where that cat's physical body, or in the terms of a person, that physical body is the remaining fortress of safety and security. If a person is extremely traumatized, a lot of times they'll go into a fetal position. And this is a way of...
Literally. Yeah, we can't get out of bed.
Yeah, and this is a way of saying... that the body is the final fortress. That's, the me, that's the world. That's as big as it is right then. I can't. And you're right. There are people who become so threatened by life that they can't get out of bed. And I've seen that happen. People that are so traumatized that they are either in a small room or won't go out of the house, or mm-hmm. so they have a kind of a phobia. And so in that, the search for value, control, and power in a world that small is one of immediate gratification. There isn't any planning to get better. There isn't any planning to build the world. It's just feeling good for the moment. And so you could actually literally drive through a neighborhood and see that people have retreated into that small world because of the condition of their yard and the condition of the cars and the condition of the house. And if you were to go in the house, the condition of the house, and I did this one time, counseling a family in the early days when I was doing more social work, and I was going to this kid's house, and the lawn was about 18 inches high, and the lawnmowers and garbage cans were broken in the yard and turned over, and went inside, and there was filth everywhere, and the dishes hadn't been washed forever, and the laundry was through the laundry room and out through the hallway. It was just filthy, and the family was in the living room around the TV eating pizza.
Right.
The kid wasn't going to school. The world was so small that it was just about TV and pizza, and even the filth on the floor wasn't part of their world anymore. And so to grow that, of course, there's a process of cleaning the living room, cleaning the kitchen, outward, mowing the lawn, and then eventually going back to school and those kinds of things, growing the world that way. So this body perspective is one of immediate gratification linked to addictive behaviors.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds like the world of addiction.
It is the world of addiction. Mm-hmm. And in the world of addiction, one thing interesting to note at this point is that in the world of addiction, other people are either a mark or a threat. They're either someone that's going to take something from you or someone that you can get something from. And so friendships in this body perspective are few and far between, not even really meaningful. Mm. A close friend could take your wallet.
But let me ask you about this. We heard the term like a high-functioning addict. What's going on there? They don't seem outwardly like they have retreated. They're not checked out. They're not on a bender and haven't come to work. It doesn't seem to be affecting their functionality for the most part in the world, but it will eventually, you think? Mm-hmm. Like somebody who's an alcoholic who still functions pretty well, or now with these prescription drugs these days, people get totally into addiction in that, but they still seem to be functioning pretty well.
So they would not be in the body realm. They're out here in the external realm. So we'll talk about that. And also to mention, just off of what you're saying there, again, to remind that our world is never static. It's either getting larger or smaller. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the Bible, sin becomes sin doesn't just stay sin. It develops or devolves into even more sin. And in Romans there's this downward spiral. Mm. And in life there's a downward spiral. You know, you're either growing your world or you're retreating. And so
the day of reckoning is coming for that person.
Correct. Yeah, there has to be a behavior change and a change of direction because the world is either getting smaller or larger. Mm-hmm. So you're describing a person. When this functional addict is a person who is what I would call the external realm. Now, in the external realm, we're pursuing value, control, and power not through immediate gratification, but through acquisitions and achievements. Mm. And so you are what you own. You are what you possess, what you achieve. It's a very anxious world, stress-ridden world, and it's really America. It's Western culture.
It kind of sounds like workaholism.
Yeah.
We hear that term a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that's a form of addiction too, but it outwardly seems very successful.
Yeah, yeah, it can yes, it, yeah,
and achieving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're always comparing, measuring, and as Christians, I mean, this is pretty much where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I would say these, you know, your world is either getting larger or smaller. People look at this model and they'll say, "Well, I'm here," but you know, we vacillate back and forth. Because our perspective is always is always moving. It depends on where we focus. Mm-hmm. You know, a person my age might at sometimes focus upon the shortness of life left and become and want to retreat into kind of immediate gratification thing, and an hour later might be thinking about I think I'll go clean the yacht.
Yeah.
Or
maybe get out and climb a mountain,
or something like that. And then there's a different perspective. It's what I achieve, and this is how I have a sense of value, control, and power. So in this, it's people pursuing a better job, a better life, a better house, a better education, those kinds of things, and it's keeping up with the Joneses a lot of the time, and so that would be the external perspective, and that's a lot of the people that I see. I work a lot with addicts, and so I work a lot with people that are in that smaller realm. But you know, you can get so your world can get so small in that body perspective. There's so much depression there that you can no longer receive help in terms of counseling, and that's when you're like in an inpatient treatment situation so that you can get to the place where you basically have some sort of self-esteem, because without some sort of self-esteem, there's no reason to grow your world.
Yeah, to get better.
Hopelessness means there is no hope. Mm-hmm. You can meet a person in extreme addiction and you can say, "I can help you," and they might just shrug their shoulders and, you know, it's kind of like, what's the use? You can't, you know.
Well, the perspective then that helps both this this external perspective and the body perspective is getting more and more into an eternal perspective, transcendent perspective.
Yeah, and so this is particularly meaningful for the Christian. I think for a non-believer, to talk about the transcendent is in a way kicking the can down the road, because you're always looking for something that's larger than yourself, and the target keeps moving. Mm. But for a person who believes in a creating God and a loving God, that's kind of defined for us. And so what I say about that is we embrace the idea that life is an experience with the sovereign purpose of God. And so whether something seems good or bad, you know, it's all things work together for the good of the. So then the situations of life become less. And so I find value in surrender. I say to the laws that govern life, or to the laws that, you know, the laws of God and the nature of God, I surrender to those, I submit to those, and that's where I find my value and my sense of control and my sense of power, and reminding myself that it's in God's hands.
Yeah.
And so this is not a place that Christians live, but it's a place that we aspire to be.
Well, when you see it, though, if you can, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his
wonderful
face.
Yeah, I love that.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Strangely dim. I love those words.
And that is very much what we need to do, is get a hold of that eternal perspective. It puts everything else in perspective.
Yeah. And so we have to be reminded of that. And so, you know, Maslow had the idea. He had this pyramid, and I love the pyramid. Some people say it's defunct, but I think that's ridiculous. I think the pyramid is very workable, but it doesn't, you know, you just arrive at the pinnacle of the meaning of your life. And I think the target keeps changing unless you can assume that there's a transcendent God who has assigned value to the human being, and that's the value of the human being. We're not defining our own value.
Well, good stuff. We've heard some of this before, but it's great to revisit life perspectives, the idea of the body perspective, the external perspective, and what really helps put it all in perspective, the eternal perspective, the transcendent, and turning our eyes upon Jesus. BibleBasedCounselor.com for all of these broadcasts with Daniel. You podcast your shows there.
At BibleBasedCounselor.com, correct.
And people can contact you there, too. Now, you have offices locally in Edmonds and Bellevue.
Correct.
And how do people get in touch with you on the phone?
The phone number is 425-778-6169.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. Also, your other website where some of your writings are.
As ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Mm-hmm. And actually, some of the topics that we talk about on the shows are there. Other topics are there. And I try to post some occasionally. Used to do it every month. Sometimes I get one out a couple times a year. But
You're staying busy. That's good. Yeah. A lot of people need help and need some sound mind counseling. With Daniel Pryor, this has been the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.